Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Good to be with you. I'm Tony DeCoppola. The breaking news right now. A luxury safari ends in tragedy as a tourist helicopter crashes in Kenya, killing seven people, including five Americans. What we're learning tonight about the victims. Breaking news from the royals, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle moving their family back to Britain. What we're learning from Buckingham Palace. Heat alerts from California to the Carolinas, what some states are doing to try to stay cool. And extreme home makeover, White House edition, the builder-in-chief showing off the new granite driveway and heliport. Who's paying for all this? New video of a woman suspected of killing a police officer who was also her husband. What she was last seen wearing and where. The new hope for victims of skin cancer, personalized vaccines show promise in stopping the spread of melanoma. Play to stay, the tactic to entice some U.S. soldiers to reenlist.
She's got home from practice.
And the good stuff, the 47-year-old pastor making a college football comeback. And good evening. We begin with that breaking news today. Five Americans on a once-in-a-lifetime luxury safari through Kenya died in a helicopter crash that killed everyone on board. It happened in a part of northern Kenya, popular with tourists and known for its natural beauty. But tonight, the images coming in show a scarred landscape. The remains of that charter helicopter still smoldering as recovery crews moved in. MTS Tayeb now reports on what happened and who was on board.
The harrowing aftermath tonight of a helicopter crash. This cell phone video shows the wreckage scattered across the rugged foothills of Kenya's Mount Ololokwe, a place tourists travel thousands of miles and pay thousands of dollars to experience. But this morning, a luxury safari ended here in catastrophe. The helicopter, carrying six tourists and a pilot, went down shortly after 9 a.m., bursting into flames in terrain so difficult to reach that Kenya's Red Cross joined a multi-agency operation to get to the scene. There were no survivors. In a statement, the U.S. State Department confirmed five Americans were among the dead, many, it appears, from the Miami area. Among those killed, Jose Alberto Suarez, president and general manager of Telemundo-owned stations in Florida, and 42-year-old Roger Duarte, a well-known Miami restaurateur. The government of Ecuador has also confirmed its intelligence chief, Michele Sense Contugi, and his wife were also on board. The helicopter was operated by Lady Lori, carrying guests of luxury travel company and beyond, part of a safari industry built around taking travelers deep into Kenya's vast and otherwise inaccessible wilderness. But tonight's crash has renewed questions about helicopter safety in the African country. In February, six people, including a Kenyan lawmaker, were killed when another helicopter crashed in the country's west.
And tonight, investigators are trying to determine just what exactly brought this helicopter down. But for those on board, a journey sold as the experience of a lifetime above one of Africa's greatest wilderness ended instead in tragedy far from home. Tony.
MTS, thank you. We turn now to that coast-to-coast heat across the southern U.S. The temperature in Charleston today feeling like 113, just short of the high of 118 in California's Death Valley. Our Jason Allen trying to stay cool tonight in Phoenix.
As temperatures in Phoenix soared toward 110 degrees, people made their way toward a city respite center to escape the brutal heat.
As long as it's touching the back of your neck, your body will cool off, okay?
People and pets will stay here for hours during the hottest part of the day, but this center stays open now for 24 hours, with people needing relief even after the sun goes down.
So you found that there is a need for heat relief around the clock, not just in the middle of the day.
Yes, because especially in the hottest part of the summer, it still is very hot at night as well. So we really wanted people to be able to come inside and cool down during the evening hours as well.
The heat has been relentless in Maricopa County this year, where nearly 600 deaths are under investigation to determine if they're heat-related. 81 heat-related deaths are already confirmed this year. That's more than double the number of confirmed heat deaths at this time last year. Arizona is trying to find new ways to stay cool, including covering about 200 miles of asphalt roads with a gray paint, cooling the surface up to 12 degrees. In Garland, Texas, near Dallas, where it has topped 100 degrees for 9 days straight, a 5-year-old girl died after she was left inside a car. New Mexico emergency rooms have seen more than 900 people for heat-related illnesses since April, the highest number the state says it has ever recorded.
And the city of Phoenix has closed down the entrances to hiking trails right now. That's to prevent people from going up into those hills during the hottest part of the day, being overcome by the heat and needing to be rescued. Tony?
All right, Jason, thank you. Let's get the forecast now from chief weathercaster Lonnie Quinn of CBS New York. Record high temps and a new storm threat in the east. Lonnie, good evening.
Okay, Tony, that storm threat for the east here in New York City, it's just beautiful out, right? I mean, you can see the runners here running through the park right now. A lot of activity. Tomorrow, that storm will be here in the city. So there's some problems to talk about coming up. But right now, it's all about the heat. We have heat advisors, extreme heat warnings anywhere from California to the Carolinas. The biggest numbers are east of the Mississippi because those are heat indices. So I'm factoring the humidity. Could feel like 111 in Jackson, Mississippi tomorrow. West of the Mississippi, all right, those are actual thermometer readings. Records are possible in Dallas at 106 on Saturday. But the flooding threat that you were referring to stays in place again tonight. And again, it's that area that was just ravaged last week. Areas outside of Indianapolis picked up 16 inches of rain. That same area could pick up 1 to 2 tonight. That front pushes to the east where it merges with a warm front coming up from the south and where the highest threat for flash flooding tomorrow, anywhere from New York City to Norfolk. But New York City, as of right now, it's fine. It's problem free. Tomorrow, I doubt we'll see as many people out here getting their exercise in the park. Tony, it's all yours.
All right, Lonnie, thank you. We go to Washington now, where reporters were called to the South Lawn of the White House today for a surprise tour of some of President Trump's favorite home improvement projects, and he made some new claims about who's paying for them. Here's Chief White House Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
So let's take a look at the helipad, and we'll walk together if you'd like.
President Trump guided reporters through a maze of construction at the White House today.
This is all brand new grass.
Like no that. Detail was too small for the contractor in chief.
Every stone is 2 degrees rounded.
You look at the lettering and you look at the joints, they're like flawless.
Some of the projects were a surprise, like right the 4-inch thick granite he just installed on the driveway, replacing the existing asphalt.
You'll never see a crack in this granite.
Trump insisted the work will make the White House more functional. And he claimed most of it comes free to U.S. taxpayers.
It's donated by Sikorsky, by the helicopter company. It was given free of charge by Scott's Miracle-Gro.
But he's made similar claims about the White House ballroom, which could be seen rising behind him today. The Washington Post has reported that taxpayers will foot half the bill. Just last week, Trump asked the Supreme Court to step in after a lower court called the ballroom project unlawful and ordered that construction stop this Friday.
Well, we hope that doesn't happen. I can't imagine it happening.
During the tour, Trump was asked when he plans to resume talks with Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and bring down gas prices.
Maybe at some point, but right now, I think the situation is so good.
And Nancy, of course, the world remains a serious place. And during that very tour, the president made news on that front about North Korea. What can you tell us?
Yes, Tony, he said North Korea has 57 nuclear weapons. It was the first time that a public official has given an exact number like that. He said North Korea should never have been allowed to get that many, but he didn't seem particularly concerned. He said he gets along with Kim Jong-un, that Kim has behaved himself while Trump has been in office. He even said he's likely to meet with the North Korean dictator sometime this year, Tony.
All right, Nancy, thank you. We turn now to news today in the case of Lindsay Clancy, that Massachusetts mom on trial for killing her 3 children in 2023. She's pleaded not guilty, citing her own struggle with postpartum psychosis. And today, a psychologist who treated Clancy after the killings testified about her state of mind the night of the tragedy. Our Chanel Call has details.
What were her symptoms at that time?
The defense cut to the heart of this case today, asking their key expert, a forensic and clinical psychologist, Lindsay Clancy's diagnosis the night of the crime.
My opinion is that she did have indeed a mental disease or a defect. She had bipolar disorder with postpartum psychoses, and she had no appreciation for the wrongfulness of her act.
Paul Zeisel, who met Clancy 60 times since the tragedy, testified she should not be criminally liable. Trial evidence in the months before shows Clancy was desperate for help, seeing several mental health providers and calling the suicide hotline twice.
Did she receive any help from the suicide hotline?
She did not.
Why is that?
They told us she did not meet the standard of care because she did not have a plan.
And over a five-month period, Clancy filled 32 prescriptions and checked herself into a psychiatric hospital.
She told you that she heard a male's voice?
That's correct.
When?
On the night of the incident, January 24th, 2023.
Prosecutors pressed Zeisel on why Clancy didn't tell her doctors that. They argue she was of sound mind when she killed her children.
Her concern was that when people could hear her thoughts, her children would be removed from her care.
And Zeisel was also asked today about whether Clancy mentioned her children after this tragedy. She told him she loved them, she misses them, and she thinks of them every day. Tony?
Chanel, on a difficult story again tonight, thank you. We turn now to promising news for cancer treatment, in particular for the many Americans battling serious melanoma each year. For some high-risk patients, an experimental vaccine could reduce the chance of the cancer returning or spreading. CBS Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John LaPook joins me now with more on the vaccine, how it could be personalized, and the role of AI potentially in all this. Now, Dr. LaPook, it's experimental,
right?
Yet the makers, Merck and Moderna, had their stock prices explode today. How might this actually come out and work?
Well, it's fascinating, right? It's a 1-2 punch against the melanoma. Cancer has the ability of putting a cloak of invisibility on itself so that the immune system can't see it. Mm. The first punch is a drug called Keytruda that removes the cloak of invisibility. All right, so now the immune system's eyes are wide open, but what does it look for? And that's where the messenger RNA vaccine comes in. Think of it like giving a scent to a bloodhound. The vaccine is giving the scent of the melanoma to your immune system so the immune system can go out and hunt it down.
And the scent is personal. How is the medicine personalized?
Well, they take a piece of the tumor, they analyze it for what unique mutations that it has. And then messenger RNA technology is used, and it's coupled with artificial intelligence. Why AI? Well, that helps to figure out which of the hundreds of mutations should be included in the vaccine. The vaccine is then created, and it teaches the immune system how to recognize the specific mutations in that specific person, totally personalized. Now, these are early days, right? We don't have the full findings yet. We have to wait for that full paper, but very promising. I spoke to a lot of researchers today. They're extremely excited. And I have to say, if it all pans out, it might be important not only for melanoma, but for other cancers as well.
Dr. LaPook, thank you very much. Really exciting stuff. All right, breaking news from Buckingham Palace. Britain's Prince Harry and his American wife, Meghan Markle, are planning to move back to the UK 6 years now after they stepped away from all royal duties to make a new and at times public life right here in the U.S. Senior national correspondent Mark Strassman now with details.
For the former royals, it's another transatlantic move fraught with possibilities and drama. They bought their home in California more than 6 years ago, a shift in lifestyle toward independence from Buckingham Palace and the family business. Instead, they struck a series of their own business deals. Their $100 million one with Netflix included a documentary about their lives.
The first morning that we woke up in our new home is when I miscarried.
They also had a $20 million deal with Spotify. Meghan tried to establish a lifestyle brand. Harry had a four-book publishing deal. His tell-all memoir, Spare, repeated complaints about his family and the system that raised him.
The feeling is that this was our decision, therefore the consequences are on us.
Harry spent years estranged from his father, the king, and his brother, the future king. Back in July, the family returned to the UK with their children, Archie and Lilibet. It was their first visit as an entire family in 4 years.
The former royals reportedly plan to keep their home here in California, establish a home base in Britain, and enroll their two children in school. King Charles is said to have made it clear their status will not change. They will remain private citizens. Tony?
Mark, thank you. Up next in a moment, Armed and Dangerous, the search for a woman wanted for questioning in the death of a police officer, her husband.
Matching outfits, extravagant birthdays,
Many nicknames. A few classic moves of a dog-obsessed parent. At Ollie, they're obsessed with how obsessed you are with your pup, which is why they obsess over giving your dog the best. Ollie's fresh, human-grade recipes are developed by real chefs and backed by vet nutritionists. The meals are perfectly portioned and come with a puptainer and scoop for easy storing and mess-free serving, delivering the best experience for you and your pup. And through the Ollie app, you can actually check in on your dog's health with real vets. By uploading a picture, their team can check your dog's weight, digestion, teeth, and coat. They'll then provide next steps on how to keep them thriving. And because they're just as obsessed as you are, there's zero judgment if you check in every day. You could say Ollie feeds the obsession. Go to ollie.com/firstbox and use code FIRSTBOX to get 70% off your welcome kit. Ollie, feed the obsession.
In Massachusetts, a search is underway for an armed and dangerous fugitive described by prosecutors as a suspect in a police officer's death. The twist here is the fugitive is a 58-year-old woman and the police officer was her husband, a veteran on the force there in the city of Worcester. Our Lilia Luciano was there with late developments.
By air, land, and water, local police and federal law enforcement teams are searching for 58-year-old Karen Solomon after her husband, Kurt Solomon, a veteran police officer, was found dead inside their home.
She is presumed to be armed and dangerous.
Newly released Ring camera video appears to show Solomon wandering through the neighborhood wearing pajama shorts, a t-shirt, and flip-flops. Police were called to the couple's home just before 5:30 Tuesday morning. Inside, they found 58-year-old Kurt Solomon dead. Investigators have not said how he died. The 31-year veteran of the Worcester Police Department was a father of two adult sons. A family member told CBS News that they were not aware of any issues in the marriage, but that Karen Solomon's mental health had declined following the death of her sister a year ago.
Kurt was loved by every member of our department. He was extremely dependable.
What was your reaction?
Shocked, upset. And even though we're hurting, we will be relentless in pursuit of justification for what occurred to him.
CBS Boston interviewed Karen Solomon back in 2016 when she was working to help police officers in mental health crises.
They're experiencing pain and suffering because of the job.
Neighbors say the couple had lived in the community for years, and many are struggling to make sense of what happened.
It's tearing me apart. Yeah, she's always been a great person, but I didn't hear any indication where they were having an argument or something like that.
And tonight, this remains an active crime scene, as is the search for Karen Solomon. Authorities warning the public not to approach her if they see her. They believe she's still armed and dangerous. Tony.
Lilia, thank you. Still ahead, how one Army unit is using a video game as an incentive to serve.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A NetJets flight into Akron, Ohio, ran into trouble on Tuesday when the front landing gear failed to deploy, forcing the pilots to pull off a delicate touchdown on the back wheels, bringing the nose itself down onto the runway to grind to a stop. They do train for this. It's a great example of it working. Some U.S. soldiers just got a unique offer from Uncle Sam. If they reenlist for at least 2 years, they'll get 4 days off in November. Time to the release of Grand Theft Auto 6. Apparently something circled on a lot of their calendars already. Of the 130 specialized engineers who were offered this deal at Fort Stewart in Georgia, 20 have already taken it. Two more years in the Army in exchange for 4 days in Vice City. And a beautiful new street sign went up along California Street in downtown Denver this week. But that's not how you spell California. The era appears in giant reflective type both sides of the sign. It cost more than $300 to make that sign, but the city says the replacement will be F-R-E-E free. Up next, the good stuff and a college football comeback for a 47-year-old pastor. We're back with the good stuff. Football season is almost here. For most of us, that means snacking and relaxing. But Justin Buzzard is not like most of us. The 47-year-old father of three has been furiously preparing, exercising like a madman, because he isn't just watching football this year, he's playing it. 30 years after the end of his high school career, he's in full pads and taking an absolute beating as a walk-on defensive end at San Jose City College. He's got bruises on both arms, battered, bloody fingers, and what looks like a dog bite on his leg. I don't quite know how that happened. And yet, he tells us he's loving it.
Football for me, it's about the fun and joy of the game. It's about the rigor and the challenge and pushing my body, and I'm definitely being pushed to the limits.
It was one of his kids who brought him back to the game, responding to a post about a different older guy playing college football. His son said, "What about you, Dad?" Buzzard's coaches have cheered him on as an example for his younger teammates, because it's easier to make the younger guys understand the concept of no regrets when there's a middle-aged guy right there on the field next to them. And it works for Buzzard, too, because in the decades since he walked away from football the first time, he says he's learned at least one big lesson from life.
I think that maybe men, especially as they get older, have a tendency to hold back and not risk and to play safe with their life. And I really believe that if you're not risking, if you're not stepping into new territory and doing new things, that you're rusting.
For Buzzard, that's what it all comes down to, the phrase that has become his middle-aged motto: risk or rust. That's another day in America. I'm Tony DeCoppel. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Good night.
Hello, and welcome to Pluto Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, just stream it for free on Pluto TV, where all your blockbuster favorites are landing all summer long. Catch Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Fantastic!
The Matrix Trilogy.
Welcome to the real world.
Mean Girls.
Shut up!
Titanic.
I'm the king of the world!
And so much more. For showtimes, press nothing. They're free 24/7.
That is so fetch.
On Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.